Thank you, Kate. Good morning. So as we come to looking this morning at the scripture and particularly at Joseph under pressure, let's pray. Lord, by your Spirit, would you open our hearts and our minds to receive from you today that which you want us to take away this morning. Amen. Well, as we all stand at the edge of celebrating the first coming of Christ, we can picture, if you will, the whole of the Nativity story as a series of events where the natural and the supernatural meet. Here, heaven is touching earth in a vibrant and tangible way. It's as if God threw a pebble into the middle of a large still pond about 2,000 years ago. And the ripples have spread out wider and wider and wider across the centuries. And today they have spread all around the world just as he intended they should. And we're here today worshipping Jesus as Lord, because the process that began back there in Palestine has not stopped, will not stop, cannot be stopped, because God foretold it, God ordained it, God is watching over it, and Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth today. Amen. Amen. So today, from our readings, we're looking at Joseph. And Joseph under pressure. So who is Joseph? We know very little about him, but we do know that he was a Jew, a descendant of Israel's most famous king, David. We're told he was a righteous man. Some translations say a just man, meaning he was upright, blameless, conforming to God's laws and to man's. We can deduce from that he was honest, trusted, he had integrity, and he was a man of faith, probably a regular attender at his local synagogue, a God-fearing man, a sound, respectable, ordinary, dependable man, a man of good character. We know that he made good plans for his future. It's widely believed that he was considerably older than Mary, his betrothed. We know too that he was a carpenter, no doubt a useful trade in Nazareth, and a skill that he could pass on to his offspring. He was probably in the process of preparing a home for himself and Mary when we come across him in the story of the Nativity. That would be the normal thing. When a couple became betrothed, the bridegroom would spend about a year preparing somewhere for the bride. Then he would come for her, and there would be a wedding ceremony, and the marriage would be consummated, and the bride would then leave her parents and cleave to her husband. Joseph could reasonably have expected to have several children. Mary was young, probably about 15. And was likely a sensible, God-fearing, strong, and healthy teenage girl with many childbearing years ahead of her. These things mattered to Joseph. So he was a man with hopes and dreams for his future, and everything appeared to be falling nicely into place for him. That was until Mary was found to be expecting a baby. He knew it wasn't his. His world was suddenly crashing around him. All his hopes and dreams for the future were in danger of being shattered. His solid, upright reputation was at risk. This was a life-changing event. And there didn't appear to be any simple, easy, or slick way through it. I'm no Greek scholar, but I've heard that it was said that in the Greek language used of Joseph here, it says that he agonized over what to do. I think in some of our translations it says he considered what to do or he thought about what to do, but the underlying Greek says that he agonized over what to do. He wasn't a superficial or a rash man, and he was concerned to do the right thing both for himself and for Mary. Although she could have been at best ostracized and at worst stoned to death for her predicament, Joseph didn't want to see her harmed. He cared about her. He was sensitive towards her. On the other hand, he had his good reputation and his future to protect. If he married her, people would forever talk about them and the child behind their backs. They would never be free of the scandal and could well be isolated from their friends and family. It would be a seriously costly social situation with unpredictable consequences. What should he do? Joseph agonized. In Jewish law, Joseph and Mary were already legally bound as man and wife, even though they hadn't yet come together. The only way to separate now was to undergo a formal divorce. Under Jewish custom, this could be achieved by having two other men agree that that was the right thing to do, and then it would be done. So Joseph agonized, and probably with a heavy heart, he decided quietly to divorce Mary. At this stage, it's probably worth pointing out that God knows our thoughts. We find that in Psalm 139. The enemy doesn't know what we're thinking until we open our mouth and tell him. But God knows our thoughts, and he knew, therefore, what decision Joseph had come to. And it was the wrong one. At this point, the Lord sent an angel to appear to Joseph in a dream, bringing him comfort and giving him guidance and direction. How well the Lord knew Joseph. When we're asleep, our subconscious can accept things we wouldn't necessarily accept when we're awake. Joseph was a practical man and someone who weighed things carefully. This dream corresponded with Mary's explanation. Confirmation that something unusual was going on. He could choose to run with it and trust God, or reason it away and do his own thing. Reason is the enemy of revelation. Revelation requires faith. We must never reduce what God can do to the level of our own experience. Joseph had faith and he trusted God. He knew this dream was from God, and Joseph acted on the revelation. This was to his great credit, because he knew his reputation would take a long-term knock by taking Mary as wife. Everyone around them knew that the child she was expecting was not his. This was a scandal that they never lived down in his lifetime. If you recall, 3 decades later, when Jesus was challenging the Pharisees about who is Abraham's seed and who is Satan's offspring, they said to him, "We were not born of fornication." They'd heard the gossip of his parentage and took this nasty underhand swipe at him. The whole family suffered. When we choose to obey God rather than our flesh, God's will rather than man's ways, we can expect to suffer. The Bible calls it carrying our cross. At first, we might be ridiculed. Then, as our actions mean we no longer conform to the world's accepted ways, there'll be jibes and sarcastic comments. Who said words can't hurt? Next, there'll be social exclusions. And finally, persecution. You might identify with some, or even all of these. It's the lot of those who choose to put God first in their life, those for whom Jesus is Lord. God rewarded Joseph for his obedience with 4 more sons after Jesus was born, and with daughters. So his long-term dreams were fulfilled after all. Joseph played a small but important part in God's eternal plan for mankind. We've been looking at the pressures on Joseph, but it was Mary who was carrying a baby, and not just any baby, but the Son of God. In all other cases, when a man and a woman come together to make a baby, a completely new life comes into existence when the egg is fertilized. In Mary's case, the life within her womb was not brand new. The life within her had existed from ages past. The Ancient of Days, he always was and he always will be. This baby was special. God was becoming man, adopting our likeness, that we might adopt his likeness. As Charles Wesley wrote, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. God told Joseph to name the child Jesus, meaning God saves. In Hebrew culture, legally, only the father can name the child. God was the father, God named the child. We aren't saved from our sins by his birth, but by his death and resurrection and ascension. God's plan from ages past has now been revealed to all mankind. We learn from John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the bronze snake in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him and goes on believing in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I wonder what parallels there are between Joseph and us. Perhaps when our plans are going badly wrong, it just might be God intervening, even if we don't realize it at the time. Hindsight is a wonderful thing. I wonder how many of us can look back now and see God's hand at work in our lives, in our past. It's a faith-building exercise. I encourage you to try it sometime. Insight is useful too. How is God working in our lives today? Joseph had faith to allow God to take him places he would never otherwise have gone. He trusted and obeyed. Bishop Leslie Newbegin used to say to the church in South India, nobody is entitled to ask God, where is this going to lead? We are instructed to follow, and it will become clear later where it takes its place in God's overall scheme. Will we choose God's will and play our own small but important part in his eternal plan today? Let's pray. Father, your plan includes each one of us. Any seeds you've sown today, Lord, let them germinate, let them grow, let them bear fruit in our lives to your glory. Amen.